You're listening to the official OSAP podcast with Michelle Lee, bringing you infection control tips and information to make you a safer practicing clinician. And now, here's your host, Michelle Lee.
Thank you all for joining us today. I am honored to have two outstanding guests with me today, Dr. John Molinari and Andres Maldonado. I hope I said that correctly, to discuss respiratory fit testing, specifically the ASTM F3407. And I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to this discussion because I think I'm a little bit behind the eight ball on all of this. So, but before we get into our topic, I want to do just a quick introduction. Many of our followers already know Dr. Molinari very well, and he never likes it when I give a very long introduction, but I want to point out a few things. So Dr. Molinari earned a PhD in microbiology from the University of Pittsburgh and subsequently worked as a faculty member in the School of Dental Medicine. He is currently professor emeritus at the University of Detroit Mercy, where he served for 32 years in the School of Dentistry as a professor and chairman of the Department of Biomedical Sciences and director of infection control. Later, he was the infection control director for Dental Advisor, where he was involved in research on newly developed infection prevention technologies and products. He's published many scientific articles, text chapters, abstracts, and OSAP was very honored to have him give his last live in-person lecture at our June conference. And because he has retired from the speaking circuit. But one of the most important pieces of information I can share with you about Dr. Molinari is that he is one of the founders of OSAP. And we are very happy to have him here with us today. So welcome.
Good.
And then our other guest is Andres Maldonado. He is a senior director with one of OSAP's super sponsors, Hugh Freedy Group's Infection Prevention and Control Strategic Business Unit. And he is charged with leading the product management and marketing for the company's personal protective equipment, operatory supplies, and conscious sedation portfolios. Big job, Andres. He has been with Hugh Freedy Group for more than 8 years and was deeply involved in managing the company's face mask business throughout the pandemic, navigating through ever-changing regulatory and supply chain conditions with the aim of maximizing supply to Hugh Freedy Group's customers and frontline healthcare workers. Thank you for all your efforts during that time. Been a busy 2.5 years, hasn't it?
It sure has.
So welcome to both of you. So let's start here. Educate me and educate our listeners. What is the ASTM F3407 standard and why was it developed?
When NIOSH came out in 95, mid-1990s, with their respirator regulations, they didn't include any information as far as fit characteristics, nor did they include a standard for voluntary consensus approval for fit testing on these things. It was good what they did because we saw more of these facepiece respirators coming out. But studies since that time, after those mid-90s, showed that a lot of these respirators weren't really fitting that many people well. People were just taking these things, taking them at the word, okay, this is a respirator, but they weren't getting the fit. And fit is critical as far as particulates, and Andres will be able to tell you so much more than that, aerosols, which we talked about for dentistry and other healthcare workers. And so in the ASTM International was asked by NIOSH to come up with a fit standard, a test method, if you will. And this is what was promulgated. Andres, I think it was October 2020 when
That's when it came out. Yep.
Right. And that really put some very specific pieces of information as to how these things should be tested for workers at workplaces to make sure that these respirators were being used efficiently.
So this didn't come out until after the pandemic started.
That's true. That's true.
Wow.
It came out in 2020.
Wow.
And there are very specific criteria that have to be met for this. And we can go into that a little bit later on, because thanks to you, Freedy, being so involved in this, and Andres being a major one, Dental Advisor was able to do probably one of the first studies for dentistry on this. And that's in the information piece for the podcast as to what they could look at. We'll talk about it. But the important point is, this way you can have respirators that are known to fit the overwhelming majority of workers if they are fit tested. And that's important. So that sets a criteria standard for manufacturers. And Ufreedy is one of the ones that has done that.
Yeah. And as Dr. Molinari kind of mentioned, you know, this was sort of a gap that was identified even prior to the pandemic. And it was sort of coincidental, but very timely that it was launched in 2020. And it really does provide guidance to both manufacturers, such as Ufreedy Group, and also users of N95 respirators.
So it's a voluntary standard. Help me understand that. Why is it a voluntary standard?
Yeah, I think like many standards, when they're first introduced, before they become mandatory, they are made voluntary. It allows for a period of time that feedback can be provided to the standards organization and to NIOSH specifically in this case, you know, to see how difficult it is for folks to implement the standard. Because as Dr. Molinari mentioned, there's a considerable amount of testing that as a manufacturer, with the help of Dental Advisor, we had to perform on the respirators that we are bringing to market, two of which we just launched recently this year, where, you know, we did this testing. And the way that the testing works is that, you know, NIOSH developed a panel of subjects that they test to that kind of cover the breadth of the, as Dr. Molinari kind of alluded to, the breadth of workers and the different face shapes and size, head sizes that, mm-hmm. that might be present. And so it's 25 individuals that have to be tested individually. It takes time and effort. Yep.
So this helps for multiple size faces, for a mask to fit multiple size faces, I guess is what I'm trying to clarify.
Yes.
So for manufacturers, it helps to assess whether a design is going to be universal or as universal as possible. And so we can do testing to assess that. And then if we need to make, you know, changes to the design in order to make it fit better across a broader sense.
Got it. Yeah. Cause I remember early on and I remember trying different respirators and was really having a hard time. I have a smaller face and was having a hard time finding one that gave a good seal for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Possibly what you had early on, because you say you have a small face, is you were noticing that you weren't really getting a tight fit. You were getting some leakage around the sides. And that's because more of these things were, I'm going to use the word generic instead of having much more testing and characteristics built into them that would fit the majority of faces.
Yes. Okay, great. So let's talk about the importance of this to most of our listeners, our dental clinicians out there. Does this, if they're choosing a mask that has gone through this standard, so to speak, then I'm assuming, and tell me if I'm wrong, that then more people on the dental team, it would fit, and you would maybe not have to have as many brands or order a bunch and half the people can't wear them. Is that what we're looking at here?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the advantage of choosing a respirator that meets this standard, is that you can trust that it's going to likely fit more of your workforce. And that the people that it does work with, it will work at a higher level than perhaps another respirator. And that gets to a little bit more technical with fit factor and measurements and things like that. But yeah, generally, in those cases, then, you may not need to have three respirators. You may only need to have two respirators on your, you know, standards list.
Mm-hmm. And to also clarify, this does not, just because you order these types of respirators doesn't mean you don't have to still go through the proper fit testing, right? Yes.
Correct. Right. Everyone has to be fit tested, and you still have to do the respirator check when you put it on mm-hmm. each time. But that just makes it so much more effective, the whole
And we can't kind of under the importance of fit testing, one, to make sure that the respirator is fitting each individual properly. Yes. But it's also the process of fit testing helps to really emphasize the importance of training the staff on the proper donning and wearing the respirator. And as Dr. Molinari mentioned, the seal check, you know, performing the user seal check after each donning and then changing it out appropriately after each patient contact, all of those things that are part of the training that add to the experience of the user with the product.
Right. And they should be replacing this respirator after every patient, changing it out,
correct?
That's the
recommendation, the CDC, after every patient contact, in order to prevent cross-contamination.
And because early on, people were using the same one for several hours, but that's when we had a limited supply, correct?
Yes, correct. And that's no longer the case. There's more than enough N95 for everyone in healthcare, dental, every different environment.
And as I recall, there's the overwhelming majority are made in the United States, and they're advertising that as well, so that the supply chain is there for them. It's not that they have to bring things in from overseas.
Right. So, wow, I've learned a lot today. I didn't realize that NIOSH had requested this. So this is great. So what happens if a dental practice orders some masks and none of them fit? I mean, let's go back, and if they didn't order the ones that have been through this type of standard, are dental practices just stuck with all of these respirators that don't fit?
If there is a respiratory protection program in place at the practice, they should be fit testing every individual that's wearing those respirators, and they should be passing the fit testing, whether it's quantitative fit testing or qualitative fit testing. If they are not passing, then they shouldn't be utilizing that particular respirator. They should be given additional options until there's one that is found that passes the fit testing.
Yeah. Prior to this updated standard, it was qualitative fit testing, you know, where people put the hood over their heads and they spray in a strong scented material. And that's qualitative testing. And that certainly was better than nothing and gave a lot of good information. But it's subject to user bias and user perception, and somebody may be smelling something that or not smelling, they may just not have a good sense of smell. And so
they may have had COVID.
That's right. There was a real room for error. So this really has some very quantitative capabilities. For example, it uses a machine, a separate particle counter machine that the respirator is hooked up to. And it measures the ambient particles outside and inside the respirator while the user is performing certain tasks. This is what the dental advisor study did.
Okay.
I'll just give you an example. And these are for each 1 minute. Normal breathing, deep breathing, turning your head side to side, moving head up and down, talking, bending over, and normal breathing again. And that actually causes you to move. There's another one, but it's not included in the actual measurement. And there were studies done, a number of studies done this, where the person grimaces like that. That is very difficult to quantify. So that is not in the final evaluation. Did I get that right, Andre?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I'm even doing the freaking facial expressions for you guys. But the point is that by actually doing things, you're making sure that the respirator is going to fit the person the best when they have facial movements instead of just standing there and somebody squirting some spray material into a hood. So it's a much more proactive standard.
Yeah, because when you're a dental professional and you're treating a patient, you're moving and you're laughing. All kinds of movements are going on, right?
So this really is so much more of a better standard, and the quantitative format is working.
Great. Well, what else would you guys like to share about this that I haven't asked?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that And this whole subject to fit is so important. And I think that this standard that was developed by ASTM at the request of NIOSH is just the beginning. We're seeing this standard is now already being used in the formulation of new standards. So if you guys might have seen, I think it was about a year ago when NIOSH CDC came out with another standard. It was the ASTM F3502 specification for barrier face coverings. So this standard sort of applied to just general public, general workplace. It was not specific to healthcare. But within this new standard, there's a component of it that provides guidance to employers for regular workplaces, not healthcare again, but regular workplaces. Ah. And as part of that, they've developed kind of two types of performance levels in just regular surgical masks or face masks. And this fit testing standard that was made for, or fit standard that was made for respirators is referenced and used in developing those two types. It's like performance and performance plus. And so it's likely that this is going to be used further in the development of new standards, even in healthcare. And we know from attending the OSAP annual conference this past year and listening to OSHA and the CDC that they're in the process of reevaluating all of the standards right now. So there is a definite recognition, and there was before pandemic, and even more so now, of the importance of how well a mask or a respirator fits the face. And so being able to quantify it through quantitative fit testing and having manufacturers have that information as they're designing and developing masks, you know, is important. And I think they'll continue to leverage that moving forward. So it's something to kind of be aware of, that it's more to come.
Right. The thing I wanted to mention is, you all remember that early on in March of 2020, when OSHA came out with the professions that were the highest risk or low risk for COVID, dentistry was placed in the high to very high risk categories. And, you know, then everything closed down. Dental professionals were scared, like as we all were. And so when respirators became more available, even before this standard came out, people were buying them. I was giving lectures, I was talking to people, et cetera, and dentistry was using the respirators. What happened is, as we've seen no real reported outbreaks in large groups of dental offices, et cetera, dentistry responded well. My concern is, as this has gone on, and as people have said, oh, you know, I've been vaccinated, I'm okay, and, you know, we have low, they're getting away from this. And I'm hearing too many reports of people not using these respirators any longer. And that bothers me because, in my opinion, and I'm proud of them, dentistry responded to the last of the transmission precautions: contact, gloves, droplets, mask, aerosols, respirators. And they did it. And those are transmission precautions that have been on the books for a number of years. And dentistry didn't have to address the last one until COVID.
Right.
And COVID's not going to be the last. And COVID's not done, as we all know.
Right. Right.
My concern is, dang it, do the things you've been doing, do the right things. And that's the challenge now.
Yeah, that's a definite challenge. Important point. And I've talked to Dr. Molinar. My history prior to dental was in industrial safety. And in that environment, you know, folks don't know what a face mask is. It's really just respirators, and it's N95 respirators, and it's to protect against particulates in the environment that they're working in. And, you know, there's a lot of OSHA regulations around that too, but it's really the focus is on the health, the welfare of the healthcare worker.
Yes.
You know, in our history in dental, you know, we've been really focused on the patient, which is where our primary focus should be. But at the same time, we have to be concerned about ourselves and about our fellow, you know, staff members as clinicians, making sure that they're being protected and that they're protecting themselves by wearing the proper PPE.
Right.
And it was always kind of surprising to me coming into dental that N95s weren't more prevalent at the time. And so I think now with the pandemic, we've really seen why it's important.
Yeah, the patient's right there with their mouth wide open, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. So yeah, it is about protecting that dental professional. Absolutely.
Right.
Well, yeah. And as you alluded to, Andres, at our annual conference, there was talk about in the very near future, some updates to infection control guidance. And OSAP, we are working on a contract that we've been awarded through the Division of Oral Health at CDC. And we will be hosting listening sessions in January and February to a very diverse group of dental professionals to include all of the clinicians, dentists, hygienists, assistants, office managers, and we'll want to hear from our manufacturers as well about going forward. So there'll be more to come on this, and I'm sure you too will be part of those listening sessions. I look forward to having you contribute with that. Mm-hmm. But OSAP will be involved in that. And I love that CDC is on top of this and looking toward the next steps already.
Yes. Yes. Important. Yeah.
Well, thank you both for taking your time. I know you're both very busy. So thank you for joining us today to educate me and to educate our listeners. And if you would like to learn more about OSAP, please go to our website, osap.org. And we would love to have you join our family of members. There's amazing resources on this website. We have great super sponsors like Hufriedi Group that allow us to do all the good that we can do and to provide great training to all of the dental professionals. And until next time, remember, safety matters. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the official OSAP podcast with Michelle Lee.